I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College.
Welcome back to the Second Shot Podcast, the podcast where we like to give bad things a second shot. My name is George Dunn.
And I'm Devin Newsom.
How are you, Devin?
I'm great. How are you, George?
I'm doing, you know, I'm alive.
Oh, wow.
How great it would be if I just kept this, like, like NPR podcast voice, but I was like, my life is in shambles right now.
It's terrible.
It's terrible right now. I can't stand it.
I've lost all purpose.
Well, how are you, Devin?
I'm doing great. I liked that intro, though. I did like that intro.
Thank you.
We probably couldn't keep that up for an entire episode just because we...
I don't know. If I were even paid to do it, I might be able to do it.
Let's do an NPR episode.
So tell me about your process, Devin.
Well, you know, I like to not force anything. You know, I just sit down in a wide open room, lots of lights, and just like I sort of dream it as like a river of fish swimming past my face in the room. And
a river of fish.
And you want to catch as many fish as you can, but you don't want to waste your bait on the little ones. You want to catch the big ideas.
Oh, the big ideas.
Yes. That's a little bit of my process. I'm a big picture guy.
Yes. Well, thank you for being on. Devin's new book, How to Make It in the World as a Half Black Comedian, comes out next week.
There's actually a stutter in the title as well.
As a half black comedian.
A half black comedian.
Comes out next week at Barnes & Noble. So Devin, thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
And we won't see you next week, but to the listeners, we'll see you next week. Up next
shouldn't it be
is Second Shot us. Podcast with George Dunn and Devin Newsom. Younger viewers beware, they talk about penises a lot. I'm not throwing away my dick. I'm not throwing away my dick, because I'm just like a horny, I'm young, scrappy, and borny, and... all right, we're done. Goodbye.
Hi, George. Welcome back to the Second Shot Podcast. I'm your co-host, Devin Newsom.
Whoa.
Oh, I thought we were starting the show.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Oh, sorry.
This so off the rails.
So
quickly.
Bad already. Yeah. Whatever. It's a Wednesday.
Yeah. You can probably hear the birds. We just have the windows open. We're not recording outside.
You can literally hear the Wednesday.
Yes. The wind is in the day, as the old saying goes.
Well, it comes from Woden's day, from back in Norse mythology.
Thor's brother, Woden.
Woden, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the one that tricked the Avengers, right?
I'm pretty sure that was Woki.
Oh, Woki.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot about him. The socially aware trickster.
Mm-hmm. The socially aware trickster who likes playing daddy.
Mm-hmm. You know, he had daddy issues, so I mean, but you know.
Did you see that new Thor Ragnarok trailer, by the way?
I've seen a teaser thingy. Thor Ragnarok trailer.
I guess it's not really a trailer. It's more of another funny video thing with Chris Hemsworth, but he's playing Thor.
Is it his house, his roommate?
With all the action figures.
I don't know if I've seen the action figure.
Came out the other day.
Okay, so hilarious. Probably not. But I've seen two. I've seen the one where he's at work, and then the one where he's... what was it? He was like asking for a ride or something like that. I can't remember. He was paying his rent.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Those are funny. I'm very excited for this Thor movie, which is not something I thought I'd ever say. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. What did you do anything this week other than watch a Thor short video?
What did I do this week? I finished The Leftovers on HBO.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought it was really good. A lot of people aren't going to like it or think the ending is bad, but I don't know. Like, I get why people don't like it, but I found a really good story of, like, life and death and commitment.
Yeah, I need to watch it. It's not high on my list, to be honest, but yeah, I'm sure I'll get around to it. Like, I feel like I need to watch The Wire before I watch Leftovers.
If you ever feel like you're lost in life, just turn it on and just be like, go on the journey and be like, oh my God, I should have made all these decisions differently.
It's like every day of my life.
This will make you appreciate it.
Appreciate it more?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What do you do?
Well, what did I do this week? I got really drunk a lot. Abby and I went through all the Final Destination movies.
Oh, nice.
All five of them.
Oh, man.
I always like, I never seen any of the other ones, but I always like the first one.
Okay.
It's James Wong and, blanking on his writing partner's name, but they're X-Files guys. They wrote some of the best X-Files episodes. And they did the first one. And then David R. Ellis, who did like Snakes on a Plane, and the surprisingly entertaining Cellular, with Chris Evans, Jason Statham, and Kim Basinger.
That's a cat ripping a picture.
What are you doing?
Cat ripping a picture.
That was a gross burn.
We could just leave all that in.
Just me yelling, hey, what are you doing? So yeah, we watched all the Final Destination movies. Other than four was a bag of hot garbage, but everything else was fun.
I think I've only seen the first three.
They're all pretty consistent. I mean, you know what you're getting, but four is like just really lazy.
Is the second one with the dentist office?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the pane of glass that just drops on him.
Yeah.
Real gnarly. I like that one. Yeah, they were fun. Other than that, I didn't do a whole lot substantial. I worked, had a wonderful week, if you will. But
we went on Sharapee.
Yes, we did. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Did we talk about that since?
We did not. We did Sharapee. We did Sam D.
Former guest.
It's like an improv variety show, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
And they do fake therapy, essentially, fake advice.
Yeah, kind of. Like, they do like their little lecture thing at the beginning and their intros to all the acts, which were really funny. Mm-hmm. And, the fake lecturing or the fake therapy was hilarious. And asking for a friend, I thought was really funny.
Yeah, they were very funny. Everyone was really funny.
Died laughing when Lisa said mm-hmm. bad or no, cop salad. And she was eating the Cobb salad.
That was fun. She just set a date for the next one, but I don't know what it is. I think, honestly, this episode will be out after that.
I think it's the topic is shame,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's on June 28th.
June 28th?
I'm pretty sure. I just saw it. Yeah,
This will definitely be out after that. But
really? A couple days after? I don't know, we have a lot of episodes released.
This is at least a month ahead now. Yeah, if you get a chance, look up Sharapee on Facebook and all that stuff. It's fun, go to it. It's at, the hell's that place called?
Forest City Brewery
in Tremont, I guess, or Duck Island.
Not to be confused with Forest City Shuffleboard in Ohio City.
That's confusing.
Place. Yeah, it's really confusing.
I don't know. But yeah. We listened to Blink-182 as well.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. But let's go listen to this album.
Punk rock gonna make you blink.
Is this a thing? Is that a Blink-182 thing?
No, I just made it up. Crisscross, hip-hop, jump.
Well, I know Crisscross. That was just... I felt like that would be something that Blink-182 would do.
I mean, maybe that's why the spirit of Blink overtook me. And just forced me, possessed me to blurt that out.
Paul Blurt,
Mert Kerp.
Okay, bye. Is that really it? All right, and we're back. We just listened to California by Blink 182 and the Tuets.
Hey, here's to you, California.
More like Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Whatever you do, don't go back to San Diego.
What's a San Diego? I don't... Okay, so...
George just listened to this album for the first time.
Yeah, I... I'll get into that in a second, but we have our guest on the podcast today who suggested this album. Am I correct in this? Devin doesn't tell me the setup when he's when he sets up a topic. So I don't know who's what you're.
Well, essentially, I'm like the only dude that's older than 18 in Cleveland that really likes this record, like all the way through. Besides maybe like some people like Hordano's like, yeah, it's, I don't know, that one track's pretty all right.
Me and him are pretty into like
a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. Me and Hordano like kind of got really into it. Like when the first single came out, like I kind of wasn't into it. Bored to Death, I think, was the first one. Mm-hmm. And that song's kind of grown on me a little bit over time. But when a couple of the other songs came out, that's when like we both were like, this song's like kind of catchy and fun, like, and then we got into the whole album.
It was sort of like our porch hangs anthem for like a month last year.
Yeah, it was kind of like Ending of Dag is what I associate it with.
Yeah,
Ending of Dag House and like total porch hang, just like summertime drinking album. I don't know.
Your name is Jeff Russell, by the way.
Yeah,
we probably should have established
this.
This
is our guest.
God, this is like 23 episodes in, and we still haven't gotten this down.
Jeff Russell.
I'm just bringing. I'm bringing
Jeff.
Up
the other
track list right now. So let's get into your relationship with Blink 182 first before we get into this album. But yeah, what's your relationship with Blink and why you like them? I'm assuming.
Do you guys got like 4 or 5 weeks? Because I could take all that up about Blink
182. We got an hour.
Cool. So I was raised in like a small town, Kansas. When I was in, I think, the sixth grade, my older sister gave me like a punk compilation that was like, holy shit, this is so much better than Limp Bizkit, Kid Rock, all the stuff that like I had access to in rural FYE and Camelot Music, Hutchinson Mall or whatever.
Right.
And anyway, that compilation my sister gave me, my first like window to punk rock, had a Blink 182 song on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit, this is so tight. They say penis and poo-poo all the time.
What song was it?
Zulu.
Okay.
It's not on any records. Another deep cuts. Yeah.
Deep cuts.
So then in 7th and 8th grade, I got like Dude Ranch, Enemy of the State, all the good shit. And I feel like that was like the late 90s, early 2000s, like the golden era of that band. And then in 2000...
Like, they were, like, fucking huge.
Yeah. And, like, Green Day kind of came back, and Sum 41. Like, everybody loved some pop-punk band. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then Blink-182 in 2003 had the self-title, which is kind of different. And since that, I don't feel like Blink-182 had a good record until 2016 when California came out. Because it was just Tom DeLonge doing a bunch of painkillers, talking about aliens, which are also tight, but too much, I guess.
Is it Dan Aykroyd of the group?
Yeah.
If the Blink 182, yeah. If the Blink 182, what am I, 70? If Blink 182 was Ghostbusters, he's the Dan
he's
Aykroyd.
The Aykroyd.
Yeah.
But who's the Bill Murray? Travis?
No, I Travis Barker is... Yeah, Mark would be Bill Murray, and Travis Barker would be Slimer.
Yeah, okay. Matt Skiba would be the female reboot.
Yeah.
I was going to say Matt Skiba is like Rick Moranis, but when he joined the Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2, where you're like, why is that happening?
Yeah.
It's like, why is the good one in here?
By the way, did you see this sidetrack? Did you see fucking Rick Moranis is coming back?
Yeah, he's doing the Strange Brew.
Yeah,
brothers.
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
But it's
reuniting.
A live thing.
Yeah.
It's not like.
It's a one time only. Like, we're probably never going to fucking get to see it. Like,
yeah, it's like a benefit. Concert
oh, weird. Yeah,
like
one of the cheapest tickets is like $400 or something.
Yeah.
It's a benefit.
But. It'd be really weird if Rick Moranis replaced Matt Skiba on the next Blink 182 record.
Oh,
he's a good banjo
amazing.
Player. him and
as,
Steve Martin just
as
come
dark,
out.
Yeah. As Dark Helmet, though.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So, okay. I'll lay it out there. I hate Blink 182. I've never got into them, like, whatsoever. I've... was Enema of the State came out when I was in fifth grade, I believe. So it kind of was like all the small things and stuff like that was like, you know, interesting enough for me.
Yeah, but
it was like on a Now That's What I Call Music compilation, so I listened to that.
And yeah.
I think I had Enema of the State for a second, like when my mom was getting that, or forgot to unsubscribe to those dollar record clubs, you know?
Yeah.
So I just took it and I'm like, oh, there's boobs on this thing. I'm going to keep it. But yeah, I listened to it. I'm like, even as a kid, I'm like, it's like their jokes are unfunny. It's just like talking about having sex with dogs and stuff. I'm like, it's like sub Jackass kind of stuff. And I'm just like, I don't get it. Like,
your opinion's just wrong. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's actually an intervention. We're gonna switch it around.
I don't know this for sure, but we may have talked about fucking dogs in the ass on this.
Oh, we absolutely have. I'm not saying we're any better.
We're not making millions of dollars doing it.
Basically, what I'm saying is I don't like myself or my jokes.
So it's too real for you.
They get more money from it. Yeah, but I mean, I listened to this album, and the first song is... So Cynical starts, and I'm like...
Did you like Cynical? To me, that's like...
I think it's a perfect song. Yeah.
It starts off weird, but once it gets started, I'm like, okay, here's some energy. This is fun, you know. Like, if you're just trying to go along with it, it was cool. You know, I was digging it. I would say up until Los Angeles, that's where it really lost me.
That's the one that gets everybody.
And the first three songs, I'm like, eh, you know, whatever.
I was looking it up on Wikipedia, and that song, and the fifth song, and then the last song, or second to last song, California, was actually, I think, ghostwritten by one of the...
Patrick Stump, right?
The one dude from Evanescence, I think.
Oh, shit, really?
Who also ghostwrites a lot of Taylor Swift songs, so that's kind of tight.
That's weird.
I was on their Wikipedia today, and I was like, I gotta know my shit.
Like, I felt like Los Angeles was like a Skiba song, because it sounds like modern Skiba,
yeah.
Where it's just kind of lazy, but there's like a hook...
I feel like he was like trying to write like an intro song to an 80s police movie with like Mel Gibson and, well, obviously Danny Glover, but.
Yeah, you could just say Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, it's a Lethal Weapon 2000. It's the reboot of that. So.
Lethal Weapon 2000? I would watch the shit out of that.
there's somebody else that Ghost wrote on this album too that I just figured out the other day.
Was it an alien?
Tom DeLonge is we were always joking, what if Matt Skiba is the guy that discovers aliens just to piss Tom DeLonge off?
His whole life seems like it's leading up to an alien instead of a ghost.
They come to Earth and they like they're just like, we heard this song called Radio.
That's the one.
Who is this?
They sent it out into space and that's the one they chose. Like, yeah, we heard Freebird, we heard I don't know, what's a good song?
We heard Radio, we heard Los Angeles by Blink-182.
Well, Devin, what did you think of this album? Like, I mean, this is an overarching kind of...
I don't know, I really like this album a lot. Yeah. Like, it's just fun to me and, like, brings me back to my youth, I think, is a big part of it. Which, like, I can see that on the album it's apparent that it's bringing them back to their youths as well. Like, they're just having, like, a lot of fun to me and, like, trying to be kids again.
And this is also the first time Blink-182 recorded a record, all three of them in the same studio, since Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, which is 2001.
What, did they have, like, a tenuous relationship or something?
When, like, Tom DeLonge was still in the band, he would be in San Diego while Mark and Travis recorded everything in L.A.
Mm. And he was, like, an outlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Searching for aliens.
Mm. Angels and Airwaves.
Ugh. No. Can we bleep that out?
I worked at the movie theater when that movie came out, Life or whatever, their concert movie. And I watched a little bit of it, and like, it looks good, but I'm just like, what the fuck is... I was listening to it, and I'm just like, oh, God. It's like if the guy from Blink-182 started a 30 Seconds to Mars band. Like, ugh.
Influenced by The Edge from U2.
I like you too, though.
Oh. So. Joshua Tree's not that bad.
I like everything up to Octoon Baby.
Awkward silence.
This is what it's going to be a lot of. It's going to be, I don't like Blink 182, but I like you too. I've seen Bare Naked Ladies 7 times.
Blink 180, you too.
Look at that.
Somebody needs to make that mashup.
So, Jeff, why is this album different from their last few since, what, Enema or whatever you said?
Yeah, like, so since Enema, debatable, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. So I listened to this record for the first time on tour in a van driving into New York City, which is you're like automatically in a cool mood. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to New York City. And then you get there and you realize it sucks. But I was friend with Josh Volan was in the van with us. And I was like, you got to check out this record. I think you're really going to like it. And they said, oh, was there any skate punk on it? And I said, no. And then the first record, the first song, Cynical, just skate punk, da 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 da. And I think I fell in love with it in the first 30 seconds because Travis Barker fucks up that fill. And to have that dude, audibly on this $1 trillion record, admit that right he at the fucked beginning. Up, mm-hmm. you're sort of like, all right, these guys are just having fun again. Mm-hmm. And the second, like Devin was saying earlier, the second song they released was Built This Pool. And that's a, 25 second song that's just fucking hilarious.
So it's so fucking funny. Just from the moment you hear the woo, woo.
Yeah. I mean, that's still a joke to this day. That band, The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die, mm-hmm. they just released an acoustic song, version of that, maybe 3 weeks ago. That's a drawn out, which makes it a minute. But it's super pretty.
It's very World Is a Beautiful Place, where it takes 10 minutes to do a 5 second thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that, and I was like, at first, I didn't get that it was a joke until the end of the song. Like, the woo-woo stuff, it seemed pretty in line with what I was hearing and what I thought of Blink. I don't know, I thought it was funny enough. You know, whoever says, is that it? That's the whole song? Or
which
whatever.
Is also Travis Barker.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I like Travis. I've always, I thought he was a very good drummer. I don't know if I necessarily like him as a pop-punk drummer. I think he's a little too technical for a pop-punk drummer.
Yeah.
But he's very talented. I mean, I'm not going to begrudge him for that, but I don't know. I mean, I have weird taste in music.
He's also been Travis has been kind of a cause of contention within the group too, hasn't he?
Really?
I know that he's the reason why Tom DeLonge, so the Blink-182 broke up in 2005 because of Tom DeLonge. And then when Travis had his,
it was a plane accident.
Yeah, the plane crash, where only him and DJ AM survived. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. That was crazy.
Yeah, he called Mark Hoppus right away, and Mark was there. I think in the hospital within 48 hours, and then they got to talking, and Tom DeLonge sort of was like, "Yeah, let's keep on doing this. I love you guys like brothers." And that was 2009. They came back as a band, released Neighborhoods in 2011, which is the worst thing I think they've ever done.
Is that a song or is it?
This is a record.
Oh, okay.
And my buddy Pete and I saw them.
I agree with that.
Yeah, at Blossom last summer, which is the first time I've ever seen them. And they didn't play a single song off that record. They're sort of like, yeah, this was an accident, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of bands that break up and then kind of get back together and put out an album, I can't think of many that succeed in continuing to come back. Maybe not the best example, but Thrice just did it. And that album was terrible.
Yeah, Hot Water Music, Small Round Bike. There's a lot of the good ones that, it takes them a minute to get their groove back.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of seems like once they came back in 2009, they never really came back until this new record. It seemed like Tom DeLonge was sort of like the cancer, mm-hmm. the poison the whole time. And, maybe that's why part of the reason why I love this record so much is this is kind of old Blink-182 again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're just having fun.
Why was he so reluctant to come back? Is it he just wants to do his own thing now? And he's just kind of yeah, I'll keep doing it. But it was kind of dragging his feet or what?
Yeah. From what I've read, I can't text him. Yeah.
You just ask Tom. It's not hard. You're in a band.
Hey, Tom. Yeah. Well, what's
contact
wrong?
The aliens. They'll be the middleman between the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he just didn't want to tour anymore and just his heart wasn't in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like I said, they recorded their last handful of records apart from each other and just sort of emailed this could use more phaser delay here. Just let's add more effects. Mm-hmm. And this California is more just you could tell it was three dudes plus their producer. I can't remember his name right now, but he was in Goldfinger.
Okay.
And that's who I was thinking of before.
Yeah, yeah. And they sort of just, you could tell they're having fun. They recorded over 50 tracks just for this record.
Yeah, I think I read that.
Yeah, and the they said they, you know, like they're all family dudes now and like they're grown up and.
That's part of the song.
Yeah. You could just tell they're having fun again.
Yeah.
That's the number one thing I take away from this record is, yeah, they're just having, like, fucking fun. Like, they're.
I mean, there's definitely an energy here, especially for some old punks who.
Yeah.
You know, like, it seemed almost like when I first heard that Skiba was going to be. Skiba? I don't know, whatever. Was going to be part of the band. I was like, I felt like it was a gimmick, you know? Like.
Yeah.
And then it was. The only thing that was making me interested in listening to this because I love Alkaline.
Yeah.
And I never actually, I listened to Bored to Death or whatever that single was. And I'm like, nah, it's still the same thing. It doesn't sound any different to me. But I mean, there's definitely an energy that I appreciate that like, just, I did not expect from this album. I was honestly expecting more gay jokes. I was expecting more like built this pool kind of stuff, which I appreciated there wasn't that much in it.
But. Yeah, they really only did like the two songs.
And then the Bohemian Rhapsody at the very end, mm-hmm. which I found out they recorded that all within like maybe an hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. Sure. And like the riff on that song isn't that a Tom kind of style riff?
It's like a Cheshire Cat, like Eminem's type, just like 1998, you know, like skate punk. Yeah.
That they threw a couple like there's a couple underhanded jabs at Tom in this right from the beginning in Cynical, like
that and San Diego.
Yeah,
and
can't just, go back to San Diego.
Yeah, you could just tell like trying to think of a really good analogy here. It'd be like if Steph Curry played on the Cavs for 12 years and then they just got rid of Steph Curry and then the Cavs are just having a good time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got rid of the asshole.
Like I'm trying to look at like some that pop, like California I found, you said that was also the other one that was ghostwritten.
Yeah, that was written by the dude from Evanescence who also ghostwrites for like Taylor Swift and just a handful of like pop artist. Mm-hmm. That's actually a worse song than Los Angeles, I think.
Yeah, I didn't like that song at all. I mean, which sucks because I think there needs to be more songs about California. I don't think there's enough.
I think Phantom Planet said it all.
There's not four top 25 Billboard hits about California every year.
There's not a band called Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, do you think Anthony Kiedis got really pissed off at Mark Hoppus?
I feel like he's got a copyright on it.
My state. And then Dr. Dre is like, what the fuck? Fuck all of you.
They just claim the beach. Dr. Dre claims Compton.
Yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers claim all of California.
And Blink-182 is just the suburbs. Yeah. It's all strictly white 16-year-old women.
Yeah, all the empty pools, kids skating.
And they're all going to drown to death when it sinks into the ocean.
So,
or they get bored to death.
Hey. Nice. I wanted to ask this question because I don't people love Blink-182 and I've never understood it. Like I've tried, I don't see what makes them any different than most bands of their ilk. You know, I think they're successful. And I mean like Enema of the State was huge and it had some like What's My Name Again and whatever songs on that were like huge pop songs. Well, huge successful hits.
But. It's before Enema of the State that, in my opinion, was like classic Blink when Scott Rainer still played drums. Mm-hmm. And he just did the classic, you know, punk beat the entire record. It was just Tom and Mark back then just being like, man, like writing some like heavy lyrics you can relate to as like a 7th or 8th grader. I just realized that sentence I was saying.
If you're a 7th or 8th grader out there, you're really going to dig this.
You're really going to love Dude Ranch. No, I mean, Waggy off Dude Ranch is still maybe my favorite song of all time. It was just the right place, right time. And then, you know, Enema came out and then...
You could still turn on Dude Ranch driving in the fucking summer and
have a great time. We could, that record holds up surprisingly. It's when they started doing the like the what's my age again, like the video where they're streaking or all the small things where they're like making fun of the Backstreet Boys and mm-hmm. Christina Aguilera, where they sort of just like became like more of a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was like the late 90s. Everything was weird. Music videos. Remember how big of a thing those used to be?
Yeah.
I kind of think maybe that's made Blink-182 more famous for that. But like
But also it's been their kind of their downfall since music videos have gone out of favor.
Yeah, yeah. I can agree with that.
I mean, outside of the other shit that made them not continue to be together anyway, but...
Well, like their song First Date off Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, also the record title Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, that song First Date is like maybe their third or second first or worst song ever, but it's their best music video.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like,
I just think their whole gimmick always turned me off.
Yeah.
They seem very bro-y to me.
Yeah, it's... I could see that, like, a kind of like a... This is a frat party
kind
band.
Of,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't help that, like, movies like American Pie had it, them in it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, well, they were literally in it with a monkey. And I'm like, what the
fuck's like, happening? It's like California punk is maybe not quite as punk as East Coast punk.
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, it's grimy, like, in that sense. It's a little cleaner.
I'd say Southern California punk.
Southern Cal, yeah. You got
the Bay Area
dudes,
keeps
yeah.
it real. Like, Green Day's never done wrong. You know what I mean?
I disagree.
Until recently.
Yeah, okay. Green Day didn't do wrong until, what, 2000... When did American Idiot come out?
2003.
I would actually defend some of the songs on that album. It's not as bad as I think it gets shit for, but...
Yeah.
There's some pretty
well,
fucking terrible
songs. We'll have someone
on
for that because I don't like anything Green Day's ever put out, so I mean...
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean...
Interesting.
I just... I lump them in with Blink-182. It's just, I don't get it. Like, I mean, I like punk. I mean, when I was coming up, it was... AFI was the one, you know, it was like Black Sails and shit like that. And then I immediately just jumped onto Crass and like that kind of shit.
The real punk. Like this is like pop punk we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like,
so I kind of skipped over pop punk for the most part.
Yeah.
So that was, I think,
That's, I think, surprising for me about you.
Well, I'm kind of getting into it now.
Okay.
Which is like, I'm kind of going in reverse. Like I'm wearing a Free Throw shirt. You know, like I started with, you know, Crass and House Rotten and shit like that, like, and then I kind of like, oh, this is boring. Like, it's everybody yelling at each other and just yelling at circles, like, and now I'm just like, well, just have fun.
See, I started off listening to like some of the great bands like Gunnarsson, Ultra,
the greatest,
yeah, some of the greatest bands out there.
Mushroomhead was mine. That was like my first band I like grabbed onto next to Creed.
Dude, mine was Limp Bizkit. I can Kid Rock's Devil Without a Cause. I can still probably sing every word on those CDs.
Yeah,
it was later for me to get into punk and shit. Like growing up, I was into like my dad listening to ATLiens by Outkast, and like I'd get into Outkast and fucking. All this like '80s like kind of funk shit.
Yeah,
and
it's like our generation is really unique because we have to work our way backwards to the greats.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
And
what
a lot of us had to like me. I had to find it mostly on my own. Like I'd find shit at the library.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or I'd borrow my friend. That was like big when burning CDs. Like I'd go to the library just to burn a CD. I wouldn't even listen to it. I would just have it. You know, and I'd have like basically a suitcase full of CDs. Then I'd just be like, all right, what am I? I'll sit in my car for fucking 10 minutes just finding one CD.
Like, I
got
to
go down the street. Like, I mean, it's like there's no reason to listen to one song. I still kind of do it with my iPod. But.
Blink-182 was big on early iPod days, like MP3 players. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like when people started downloading shit and like that. And I don't know. I don't really know where I was going with that. But, I don't know. Just I got into them. Just because their songs were fun and catchy and like...
Do you remember which record you heard first?
I think I probably didn't hear them until like Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, I think.
But we're also like 2 years difference in age because mine was Enema. And like I think there's like...
Maybe it was Enema for me then, actually. I don't know, but maybe Take Off Your Pants and Jacket and then I discovered some of the other stuff.
Yeah. But. Do you remember the Mark, Tom, and Travis show? Their live CD?
Yeah, I listen to that with Jordano all the time, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that really sucks about Blink-182 is that live CD is mostly recorded, like, in studio. And
Really?
They would just, like, you know, scoot the mics back so you get sound alive and then just add the audience sound later.
Yeah.
Like Iron Maiden did?
Fake lives.
Yeah. It just feels... But, you know what I mean? Like, I still love that record because I remember just, like... religiously listening to that, like in my bedroom in eighth grade, just like fuck mom and dad. I mean,
so there was no the real drugs. New songs on that.
That's
maybe kind like
there
cover
was one new song.
That's
kind of
cool
20,
to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool to me because it's like you're creating a movie scene
mm-hmm.
with a recording, pretty much. Like this.
Yeah, I mean, I never got the point of live albums anyway. I mean, I guess like if you're someone who's really into like. Listen to how he plays this thing here as opposed to on the record and stuff like that, but it's never really, I'm not like an audiophile, so it doesn't really make okay. that much of a difference to me.
Yeah.
But like, I listen to like five albums and I'm just like, yeah, I want to listen
I guess I don't listen to most of them either. Like, I like to hear the studio recordings, mm-hmm. but because then you like learn to worship the song, and then when you do hear it live, it makes it that much better, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So anyway, how are you guys?
Good.
I love making these awkward silences.
That's great.
I'm trying to think. Like, there's like what? Plus 44, Angels and Airways. Was there another side project?
There was Boxcar Racer, and that out of those three, I think that was maybe the only CD I ever owned.
Boxcar Racer.
And then there was Travis Barker playing. Drum beats behind rappers.
Oh yeah, and there's also Transplants with
the Transplants. I was trying to think of the one he was in because that was the guy with Tim Armstrong.
Tim Armstrong and Skinhead Rob. And
I was really into that album for a minute.
Yeah, DJ. There was also the song that was in that shampoo commercial. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Because that was like their big one.
God, the
2000s. Devin just keeps wanting to play this album.
Not even trying. Like,
yeah, the 2000s were weird for music, though. I think that was like,
yeah.
I have very few fond memories of anything that came out around that time. So I'm like, it's very hard for me to look back at that time and be nostalgic for pretty much anything.
Do you know how like 1990 and 1991 felt like a transition from the 80s to the 90s? Mm. I feel like 2001 to 2009 was a transition to like.
There was so
the
like,
millennia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I mean, there was, like, here and there, like, the Distillers popped up for a second, and I'm trying, like, I mean, AFI got big.
AFI got really big.
But, I mean, like, other than that, like, I can't, like, I mean, there's definitely other things, but just, like, at the top of my brain, I can't think of anything else.
So, let's compare AFI to Blink-182 real quick.
Hmm.
If Black Sails is their Dude Ranch, and December Underground is their Neighborhoods, would you listen to a new record with okay, let's see how this is. And how would you feel if like it kind of was a very, very, very polished Black Sails?
They did that. They did that with Burials.
I never heard that.
And their new one, the Blood album, or the self-titled album.
I gave up on them and like, yeah.
I'm still a fan. Like I think like in the same way you're like listening to Blink, like you might say that, December Underground is their Neighborhoods.
Yeah,
which I would say is definitely not their worst album.
What's their worst one?
Crash Love. That's
when
the one
did
right
that come
after
out?
That.
Like,
so that's 2009, maybe.
Because December Underground is what 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Then Black. Remember Black Audio?
Oh, I remember Black Audio. Yeah, I remember Black Audio. I have all three of their albums. They have three albums. They just put one out like 6 months ago.
Oh, I thought that was a one-time thing, like
nope.
A Boxcar Racer. Plus
and he's got a new one with pretty much everyone from No Doubt other than Gwen Stefani.
Oh.
And it's like an 80s synth pop band. Like, of course it is.
Well, Hunter had a... Hunter's Revenge was like a dance thing for a minute, wasn't it?
I never listened to Hunter's Revenge. I knew it existed. I think I maybe listened to one song on MySpace back in the
day.
Yeah,
that's where I got a hold of that. Was
yeah.
MySpace like
or,
2007 maybe?
Son of Sam? Was Davey, it was during Black Sails era, but it was Davey and some guys from Samhain.
What would you say, what was that venue they always sing about? Days of the Phoenix?
Mm-hmm. I like that album.
Yeah,
well, it's the Art of Drowning is the album, but
yeah.
Days of the Phoenix is a song. But
I'm trying to compare this to. I guess I don't know AFI as well as you do.
Sing the Sorrow would be their Enema of the State.
Yeah,
but I would say Enema of the State is. Sing the Sorrow is legit a good album. But I mean I don't know what you would argue about Enema. From what I hear, everyone's like that's kind of the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah, I mean the small things sucks.
But I mean it's the same with AFI. It's the beginning of the end. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, in comparatively, I guess I can see, but AFI also started really shitty. You know, those first three albums are really, really bad. just really generic middle of the road pop punk. And then, you know, Black Sails came out and they had a whole new sound. I was just more interested in like the darker aesthetic, I guess, of AFI. Is at the time I didn't realize how goofy it was.
Oh, more gothy.
Yes. Yes, very goofy gothy.
That's a goof goth.
It's a goof
goth. Just a knuckle tattoo.
Like I fully bought Davey's shit even during December Underground.
Or a goth.
Like I
goof.
Fell for it all.
Dude, just I remember
goths that play pranks on people.
My second Warped Tour, which was like a holy day in Kansas, because mm-hmm. like the only time I saw like bands like, you know, Andrew WK, the Ataris, mm-hmm. No Effects.
For a while, it was a big deal too.
Yeah, like, yeah. And I remember seeing Davey have our AFI play 2002 in Wichita, Kansas. And like, I swear to God, I saw Davey Havoc like behind like the AFI tent, just like afraid of the sun.
Just
like, oh no.
He was a step away from having a black parasail, you know?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
walking around like one of those like Victorian goths. yeah, no, I still look back at it. I had him shoes.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, like I felt like I just picked the weird gothy stuff. It was just equally as bad, you know, in certain aspects. But it was just like, I don't know. I like the black instead of the hey, let's spike our hair and go skateboard.
Yeah,
it's like that's dumb. I got to be athletic.
I think that was my generation though, because so I was born in '86. I'm 31. Mm-hmm. So like when I got into it in like say sixth or seventh grade, when you do get into punk rock. You know, that was No Effects, Blink-182, Green Day, all mm-hmm. that shit, where it's just like, yeah, let's go piss on a cop car.
Yeah.
You know, and then 2 years later, 3 years later, it was more just like, which I'm also, you know, the white belt, wearing the skinny, super skinny jeans, mm-hmm. and the bangs.
Yeah.
Remember that?
And my then, girlfriend dumped me.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
You're also wearing a scarf in like July 15th.
Getting really into Tim Burton movies.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. There's it's crazy how 99 2000 to 2001 2002 there was a huge crossover of all these bright colors of Blink-182 and like everybody wore like sagging dickies mm-hmm. and like tall socks to the tightest jeans your like cousin Shannon would let you borrow and a white studded belt and just being like fuck everything.
Well, it's astounding the divide, because they're essentially the same thing.
It's the same thing. We all got picked on.
Yeah.
But it's different. You know what I mean? Like, it's a
different take
aesthetic.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. It just bums me out. Like, I feel like if I didn't... Like, I was talking about this the other day with my friend. He's like, if I didn't grow up in the early 2000s, it would have been a little easier. I'm like, everybody fucking says that. But at the same point, it's like, yeah, if I would have been like... if I would have had the goth shit that I have that is available now and the availability of the internet in the way that it is... Like, if I could have found Sisters of Mercy and Bauhaus when I was 15 as opposed to 22, you know, I'd have been like, fuck yes.
That's crazy you bring up Bauhaus because Mark Hoppus brings that up in the Blink-182 record California.
Like he was in deep with this girl, but she was like out of her mind.
Yeah. Oh, was that in that song?
Yeah.
I kind of like that song. I missed the Bauhaus reference.
So. She got a black shirt, black skirt, and Bauhaus stuck in her head.
Because you think he was going to go with the Tim Armstrong Rancid with it, you know.
Yeah.
Nope. Bauhaus.
Stuck in my head.
Bauhaus is good.
That's a good song. Like, I don't know. There's some catchy-ass fucking song. Like,
Let's get back to this album. Sorry.
All in all, AFI.
let's talk about AFI.
This record, I feel like 80% of it holds up a year later. Cause I like listening to,
listening to it this past week, like getting ready for this. I like listened to it like 3 times in a row.
I listened to it all today, and then I probably got till like, Home is Such a Lonely Place. It's still open. So it's track 8, so it's almost halfway through. Or it is halfway through.
Yeah.
And that was more just time. Like, it moves. I looked at it, I'm like, 16 tracks? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And then it just, it's, you know, 40 minutes or whatever it is. So, but it moves.
What's your favorite song off of it? Coming from someone who doesn't like it. I want to get yours too, Jeff.
To be honest, I kind of zoned out towards the end.
Okay.
Like, I was playing Overwatch and shit while I was listening to it.
It does kind of fade out at the end.
But they all kind of blend together a little bit at the end, too.
What's the song right before San Diego?
That's my favorite one, I think. Rabbit Hole?
Yeah.
Rabbit Hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only one with an explicit tag on my phone.
Bad to the bone, baby.
Won't go down that fucking rabbit hole. Right?
I think, honestly...
You feel me, right, Jeff?
I love rabbit holes.
Love that movie. You know that movie where... is it Nicole Kidman? Yeah, Nicole Kidman's son dies. And then
Alice
she,
in Wonderland?
No. It's called Rabbit Hole.
Oh, shit.
It's just about the grief of a child dying. As we said on, I think, the Avatar podcast, how I love movies about children dying.
Do not want to go down that ride. Wait, that's crazy, because I love YouTube videos about children getting hurt.
What? Let's talk about that again. I think, honestly, my favorite song is probably Cynical. Just okay. Because it just moves.
That might be...
I think if it didn't have that weird beginning that was kind of a little corny.
That and Rabbit Hole are my two
favorites.
Oh,
the bass line and...
Yeah, it's kind of slow.
Which is Mark. I feel like that's either a shit-talking towards Tom DeLonge of just like, I'm going to call you out as much as I can on this record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it's more of a Mark just being like, hey, mate, like I'm 43 years old or whatever he is.
It sounds like as much shots as they called out to long for, like it sounds like they're kind of like ready to just move past it and be like, yeah, hey man, like you didn't want to come with us, we gave you a chance. And
I was reading a little bit of the Wikipedia,
no hard feelings.
They said it, what they call it, a admirable divorce or something like that.
Oh,
or,
yeah, as pretty as a divorce can be. Yeah,
yeah, seemed like it was pretty, like they both agreed to it, but it was just like,
It seemed like Tom was just sort of over the band, like, oh, yeah, we made it. I'm a millionaire already. Mm-hmm. I started Macbeth, like the shoe company. I started...
Oh, that's him. I forgot about that.
That was him and Mark together.
Oh, really?
And then during the divorce, I think they both just sold it to, like, their best buds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, got the kids?
The shoes.
I think you have... Where are the kids at, Devin?
I am in possession of Tom and Mark's kids. I didn't kill him.
I'd love to see that movie.
That's a waste of free work. But
his tiny hands
and this economy,
right? And they can write a killer riff.
What was the other one? There was another one that I thought was okay. Maybe it was Rabbit Hole. But like I said, I kind of zoned out. I didn't even realize it was over by the time over.
The second worst song on the record, Los Angeles, I think was our best joke of last summer.
Oh, yeah. Despite it being a bad song.
Yeah. Los Angeles.
I've been singing it all day, too. I'm like, oh, so bad. Like, because it doesn't, there's no substance to it. It's just like,
oh, no, like I said, it's just Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, it's just literally like,
did they make
Los Angeles, Don't Take My Life or something?
When Will You Save Me?
Will You Save Me.
Did they make a video for that?
No.
Because it could have been a hilarious music video, like, how all their bad songs are.
It like should be in like an hour and a half long music video. But listen, it's Danny Glover, Mel Gibson,
and Joe Pesci.
And there's a drug dealer. And
oh my God,
Los Angeles.
But I want to see. I want to see them turn to the camera and like say it real subtly.
I just want to see Matt Skiba with a mustache. Because there's something about that image.
And then he's like on his deathbed. Somebody save me.
And then a radio falls.
Blink-182.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
I want my band to write a song that rips everything off, but we just say, Minneapolis. We'll make millions.
Devin, I think you should stay after the podcast, and we're going to have an ad. Second shot. Don't take my podcast.
I'm down. <away. laughs> Hey, here's to you, Second Shot Podcast. We'll do all the covers, all the best Blink-182 songs.
I think all we can hope for is that Blink-182 listens to this and then hires us as the official Blink cast. Or Tom hears it and he's like, yeah, I agree with George.
We can have them on to give Tom a second shot to be in the band.
And then Tom listens to it and he goes, it was all right.
I don't get it.
You wouldn't. I don't know. There's just so many.
What was your
songs.
Favorite? You're going through it now.
My favorites were those. My favorites were those two that you guys mentioned. But I mean, Bored to Death has grown out of me. She's Out of Her Mind.
I also think Sober is a pretty good song.
Sober's pretty good. Like,
it's super catchy.
I thought it was corny at first, but it is. It's like ingrained in me. Like every time it's on, I'm just like.
you can tell Mark Hoppus like grew up listening to The Cure. Of just like, let's just repeat the same chorus.
I was gonna say that one felt like a Skiba one too, because it's got the synthy. I don't know. There's something about like certain aspects that I felt like he had more of a hand, but I guess I'm not as familiar with them. But with like a more effect based stuff, and like stuff like that, I always felt like it was more him.
Kings of the Weekend and Teenage Satellites are kind of feel very Skiba-ish to me.
Jordano told me this, but Kings of the Weekend made it on the final 16 song cut because of one riff.
Yeah, that's like the best part. It's so good.
And it's like the chorus is, "We're the Kings of the Weekend," which can also be like the
it's Friday night and I'm home.
Yeah. Which should be like, just imagine all these songs being the theme song to like the next MTV show. Like that would be the next like 16 and Pregnant.
Diddly dee 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 abortion.
Baby bee baby baby bee. You're pregnant.
And then Cynical would be 16 and the girl you're dating in high school is pregnant. It'd be like the father's version of it.
Yeah.
I should give up.
I'm in love with a girl, but she's got a dad. Whoa.
She said, "Hey, I'm sorry, but my daughter don't date the blacks." I don't know.
Gotta make it political, Devin.
That's not political. It's just,
tell me race isn't politics, Devin. Come on, tell me it.
I think that
then we're gonna get into Ferguson.
I think built this
from
pool.
Ooh, explains
actually,
it all.
Let's have a real quick correlation here.
Okay.
So California came out in the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
So did Neighborhoods. So they canceled each other out. And when the State and Dude Ranch came out in the Clinton administration, so they canceled each other out.
Wasn't Jack off or Jacket?
Take Your Pants and Jacket was, it was an in-between phase before we hated George Bush. Because like, we didn't know George W. Bush.
Isn't Enema of the State after Take Off Your Pants and Jacket?
No, it's before.
Oh, is it?
That was,
well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 99. So they did what you're supposed to do as a band, put out a record every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, micro-relation's wrong. Just,
yeah, because they never put out anything. Well, they put that 2003, the self-titled,
self-titled
Bush
out.
Record. But
yeah.
That's it, right?
And then they, the Neighborhoods. So, yeah. Never mind. I was onto something, but I, yeah.
It's not like Green Day where they just took advantage of the whole situation. Like,
yeah, but Green Day 2 is not smart enough to have something to say about it.
I was going to say, they never seemed like someone who had took a stance on really anything. I'm sure they have their opinions on it, but they don't air them necessarily.
Which is scary.
Maybe they're all Trump supporters.
Yeah, what if Blink-182 is super, like, hardcore right-wing, just like...
Blink-145?
Alt-right!
It's alt-right! Assassin!
I still don't get it, but I like it.
Seriously want to do all those I want to go through every song and try to write a Trump parody of every Blink-182 song.
I'm in love with a girl, but she voted for Trump. Whoa!
Oh, that's amazing, actually.
All the small hands?
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
What's his age again? Oh, he's the oldest president of all time?
What's her age again?
Hot dog.
Literal enemy of the state.
Literal enema of the state. Except he doesn't clean us out. Well, maybe
I guess
he does.
An enema does drain the swamp, so...
That's a good episode. Jeff, what was your favorite track? We didn't get to yours.
It changes. I mean, Cynical, like I said, when I that first heard it, was like, holy shit, this is skate punk. This is just Travis Barker dropped his stick, whatever, he fucked up. I was just like, all right, this is going to be sweet. And then Bored to Death, like the classic, like all the small things, your first date, like their radio hit. It's the same formula Offspring does. You're going to have one song to make sure the radio and, you know, like the corporate dudes or whatever are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then She's Out of Your Mind is great. I honestly like San Diego.
I do too. I really like that jam.
It's a good song. But
that song has like, there's a few songs that like give you like an emotional, just like, oh shit. Like,
yeah, this is like legit Mark Hoppus. Like he's yeah. like, he's married. He's a happily just like millionaire. Like mm-hmm. nothing's wrong in his life besides the fact that he misses Tom DeLonge. And you can feel that in at least San Diego, cynical,
home is such a lonely place is super yeah, sad.
Yeah. Because it's just like, yeah, you lost your best bud of 20 years, maybe. Mm. Of like you used to like share a fucking twin mattress with, I'm sure, on tour. And you guys haven't showered in 2 weeks. But you're just like, ah, fuck it, we're having the best hour of our lives. And now you guys are millionaires. And then one of them is just like, no, this sucks now.
Yeah.
It's like.
I wish I would have gotten that a little bit more. Because I didn't get any of that. I mean, I guess not having any context of the band doesn't help.
I feel like context is very important on this album. Like
it's like essentially California is Mark Hoppus. Like, okay, this is the analogy I will stick by: is when Michael Jordan came out of retirement from NBA, he went to the Washington Wizards, which is a band. Travis Barker and Matt Skiba, who he didn't have the entire time. He's like, I fucking love basketball. He did pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's what I think about California. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, it's real, but like
it's not what it could have been.
Right.
All right. You want to get into final discussion, or do you have any more to say, either of you?
I don't know. I guess
George brought up Ferguson.
Yeah, I like Clarissa Explains It All. What do you want from me? Are you Nick shaming me right now?
I don't like.
All of a sudden, there's a ladder that just shows up on the window.
Oh man, Melissa Joan has my heart forever.
Great,
MJ. Yeah.
MJ.
Oh, because I didn't know how to shoehorn it in, Fast and the Furious. So
yeah, we didn't. It's the second week in a row, maybe. Although we could, we missed a big one.
There was one episode where it was very obvious we should have.
We missed a really big one.
What was that?
But yeah. What?
What was that?
I can't remember now, but I remember there was something where like we missed this.
Yeah, I definitely remember missing one, but I was also drunk for the last like 2 weeks, so. Yeah, I mean, if we're going into final,
so George, we're going to final thoughts.
We'll go into yours first.
Mine first.
Yeah, we'll go into yours.
I mean, you're the main.
All right, that's fair.
But should we build up to it?
No, I mean, I am the one who was the outlier.
We're trying to convince you.
Here.
Yeah, like hit or miss for you.
Overall, it's I would say the lightest of hits. Like, I mean, if this was a bullseye. Or if this was like a arrow, whatever the fuck you call it. Bullseye. Fuck it. I'm calling it that.
Target.
Target. That's the word. I made a goddamn podcast around
target.
This. It hit the hay. It didn't hit the paper.
Okay.
But it's on the board. You know, it's not on the board, but it's there.
That's an awesome analogy.
But it's not going to make me want to go back to listen to Blink-182. But for this album, I lightened up my mind on it, I guess. I'm not as harsh.
Okay.
I still don't feel any different about... Well, I feel a little bit different about Blink-182 in the sense of, like, I don't like them, but I'm... Maybe I was wrong. Maybe they're not as like lame and douchey as I thought they were, but maybe I'm not wrong. But I have no interest in I'm not going to download Dude Ranch or Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
It's cool. I have
like
some burned CDs here for you.
Please, I have my suitcase over there. No, but like I mean, overall, it's a perfectly fine album. I was able to listen to it almost twice in one day. So I mean, like it's speedy. It's fun.
I say that's a win for the Blink Squad.
I make an analogy.
You may, and wrap it up within your final thoughts.
Fucking hurry up.
Final thoughts.
You listen to it again, it's a hit.
Devin
for
has
you.
To play in game 3 tonight. I forgot. Kyle Korver has not been.
They need me out there to stroke the
we
long
need
ball.
Yeah. Anyway.
I really hope this game's a disaster now, so when this comes out in a month, everyone's going to be like, fucking Devin did it.
It's not going to be a disaster, and I cannot wait to brag on air about my epic
series-making game three through seven, five, six wins.
Six, yeah, you're right. Yeah. We are going to win in six. You're right.
So anyway, you can't really convince somebody to get into Blink-182 unless they were 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
You also cannot get convince somebody to like Star Wars unless they were 8 or 9 or 10.
I would say that's not true because I didn't get into Star Wars till almost 15.
Well, you're a late bloomer.
That's true.
But anyway, I would compare Force Awakens to California to where it's like
a rehash
of something, but they did it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of flaws of like, mm-hmm. Starkiller Base is just like, Los Angeles is just like all the small things. It's like, yeah. Why the fuck did you guys write that? Like, why did you bring that shit in to my house? Either way, still stoked. You know, also another thing about getting older is, you're never going to love something as much as you loved it when you were in these very influential
ages. Yeah, these bands, especially Blink, seem like they're cursed with nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. they're never going to be able to live that out.
Right.
You know.
But they got as close as they possibly could on this record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Star Wars analogy is a good analogy.
Yeah, it's like really good, I think.
Star Wars and Blink with you, man, that's all I do.
Speaking of, before we get into it, my final thought on it, we are planning on doing a series of episodes leading up to the release of episode 8.
It's called The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi, if you will.
All right, nerd. Calm down.
It's time for the Jedi.
He pushes glasses up, and he doesn't even wear glasses. He's the only one at this table not wearing glasses. He actually turned over to me and pushed my glasses up.
And also my nipples.
With the Force.
Yeah.
But we're planning on doing a series of 3 episodes of Defense of the Prequels. I believe my brother, the young Travis Barker, Mason Newsom.
Jason
Newman will be joining us to defend, I think, either Phantom Menace or Clone Wars.
I was going to say, God have mercy on their soul, whoever talks about
it's actually
Clone Wars. Attack of the Clones.
Clone Wars needs no defending.
I think we should do the Clone Wars movie.
Clone Wars needs no defending. The movie,
that's
maybe
the movie I will not stand behind.
The movie yes.
The TV series
goddamn
is
hot garbage.
The TV show is
awesome.
Is amazing.
After the first season, yeah. The first season is a bit of a slog, but after that. I mean, Rebels is fucking incredible.
Yuppers. But
also, did you guys know Finn Rao, the Mandalorian action figure, is the highest, like the rarest action figure since like the 90s?
Since the probe droid, right? Was it the probe droid? No, I thought it was a probe droid.
George has been drinking too much, your audience.
No, I just don't know anything about toys because I'm not a fucking nerd.
The most sought after toy before this was Greedo, of course, from Phantom Menace.
He's a Klingon.
Yeah.
No, Baby mm-hmm. Greedo.
Yeah.
Baby Greedo is in Phantom Menace. I forgot mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's so gross. I totally forgot about that. It's like something I forget every time. Like every time I watch it, I forget about the virgin birth and Baby Greedo.
Baby Greedo, and on this Greedmas, I hope we all can remember the true meaning of Star Wars.
With stars wide open under the water.
Credo? Oh, that's amazing.
I shot first, you know. Please do not tell me so.
Step Wars. But would you like to join us, Jeff, in defense of the Phantom Menace? Can you get behind the Phantom Menace enough to join us on the last Star Wars episode leading into the release of Episode 8?
Yeah, I'd like
Return of the Jedi.
I'd like someone who wasn't 12 seeing Phantom Menace to defend
the Last Jedi.
I've never been more ready for anything in my life.
I now have to wash my microphone.
Okay. I'll wash it. Actually, my girlfriend will probably wash it for you.
What? Right. I have never met your girlfriend, so I'm not going to comment on that.
Josie, his girlfriend.
Yeah, also my girlfriend, her name is Josie, which is a Blink-182 song from New Grange.
I'm
Grange,
in love
so
with
a
girl that she washes my microphones.
Oh!
She makes good cupcakes.
Yes, I will.
Hell yeah. So we have We have to find our third.
It's we can literally defender. Throw a rock at Star Wars fans and find someone who can defend it. Revenge
the Rock,
Fast
Elliot Frank. No, Elliot Frank. I will give him $15 per episode.
But he's not. We can try to defend. We have to try to defend against someone.
I don't. Yeah, I don't like any of the prequels. I think the third one is the one I'm okay with.
Do you want to read? Let's redo this shit.
What do you mean?
I love episode 1 and 2.
Well, that's what. Wait, do you? That's what he's talking about.
Oh shit! I didn't know you loved episode 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Well, then what are you inviting him out for?
There's.
Do you like them?
No.
Then what were you inviting him out for?
For the third one, because I thought the third one was
the third
good
one's the easiest one to defend. I want the first two are going to be the fun ones.
Yeah, we're all drunk now. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, we'll have him on for Phantom Menace. We'll have your brother on for Attack of the Clones.
How's okay.
Because, I mean, whoever's on it for Attack of the Clones really needs to be prepared, because I have a lot to say. I'm drunk, and I like Star Wars.
I'm drunk, and I like Star Wars.
So, my final thoughts. I thought Blink-182 California was a hit.
This is all getting cut out.
Keep it. I thought it was a hit, and I love Star Wars Episode III, Phantom Menace, and I've mixed up every movie, every comment I've made about Star Wars.
Star Wars Episode III, The Attack of the Phantom.
Star Wars Episode III, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Actually, Star Trek Beyond just came on Hulu, so.
But, no, this album was really good to me and really fun, and I love Matt Skiba's influence on the band. Maybe it could have been called a different band other than Blink-182. But Blink they did some really.
It felt too much.
It did
like
some very stereotypical Blink-182 things, but I like the life that Matt Skiba put into them through death, ironically.
What? Oh, his whole.
Yeah,
persona.
His whole shtick.
I was like, wait, did Skiba die? Because I would fucking lose my mind. Like they, he still needs to make another good Alkaline album. I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't know if that's happening.
But yeah, that was that's the episode. That's their Blink.
Plugs.
Our Blink 182. Oh, we're getting to it.
Well, sorry.
I know what's going on here, Devin. Plug.
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 Your shows.
Plug.
We're only halfway.
Plug. I'm in love with the plug about my show. Whoa. All
right.
That's going to be a thing.
You got anything to plug, J. Russ? You know, you are in some music.
Yeah. I play in a band called Blink 182.
I'm not a fan.
According to Wikipedia.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia. Actually, if you guys do want to go look at the Boxcar Wikipedia page, I am on that page. Go and find it.
Wait, how? Why?
Just look it up.
Okay.
I play in a band called Signals in the West. We have a show coming up at some point.
It's coming out like a month from
now.
Yeah,
this will be July 5th or 12th. I can't.
27th with a band called Piebald. Pretty stoked at the Grog Shop.
Nice. Should we say happy birthday, America, if this is coming out July 5th,
happy
by the way?
Happy birthday, America. America.
Happy
America.
Birthday, America.
This
Sorry,
is
party poo. Was so lame.
What if we just... What if every country in the world just has like a wall cake for us?
What is a wall cake?
It's a cake that's shaped like a wall.
And it just goes...
It's a Mexican cake.
Anyway, that's so my only plug. Is
Signals Midwest.
Signals Midwest.
Very good band.
Yep.
Big fan.
Do you have an album?
July 27th at Grog Shop with Piebald. Our new record is out on Tiny Engines at this age. I play the guitar. I'm the good one. Steve is pretty medium at drums. Max is pretty all right.
Everything he's maxed out.
He's maxed out. He's maxed out. That's why I took over. So
you could Jeff it up.
Go Jeff it up. Also, my dudes, Heart Attack Man, check out their new record.
Yeah.
Also, Tian Fools, about to drop their new record. Cleveland Scene is the best scene in North America.
Oh, yeah. Those are some good plugs.
Yeah.
They owe you some shit.
Also, All Dinosaurs. Also, don't give me worship this.
Mushroom Head.
Mushroom Head.
What's up, Gunnarsson?
Check out Mushroom Head.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails.
POC.
POC. Look him up.
Person of color.
He's a beer.
Bring back Dag House. I want to go to a house show very desperately this summer, and I don't know any place.
Ooh, also, August 9th at Beachland Ballroom, or no, Beachland Tavern, Choke Up, and so far Harvey Pekar. Ooh, hopefully really? Old Souls and somebody else. I'm like literally booking this show like 30 minutes ago.
Oh, shit.
But listen to the band Choke Up. Oh, that is like one of the top three best bands that's touring right now and very active. And
check them out.
Everybody loves Pup once they're huge, but Pup had to tour 250 days out of the year to make it huge, and Choke Up is doing that. So listen to the band Choke Up from Boston, Massachusetts, because they will literally blow your minds off.
Cool. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I got nothing else to do tonight except get drunk and listen to Choke Up.
You could watch me on TV.
Maybe play some
I
Minecraft.
Have to plug. I will be on the TNT broadcasting of Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, you're
going
to be on the new X-Men show?
I'm going to be on the new X-Men show called New Mutants. I'm one of the new Sun Mutants, and that's why they booked me. Is
that's
because
a new Sun.
That's my name, New Sun. I'm the new Sun of Wolverine because he's not allowed to have X-20 Devin. He's not allowed to have a girl for a son because I don't want to be discriminated against. I need an all-male offspring spawn of
Thank
Wolverine.
You. Where's our superheroes? Where's the superheroes for men?
There's none that I can
I know.
Think of.
Yeah. I don't
Wonder
know
Woman? Miss Marvel?
Right. Where's Mr. Marvel? Where's Wonder Man?
Hey! Gender's over.
The Invisible Woman?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Where's Storm with a penis?
Come, Storm. All right, that's the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Happy birthday,
Storm.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy
Bye.
Birthday, Storm with a penis. Oh my god. Sounded like a Tyrannosaurus Rex being born.
Wow, birth hurts. Alright.
Just a super aware.
Life hurts.
Baby.
I'm a T-Rex.
Being born happens at the same time as dying.